Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
You probably heard this news today. It's new proposals. I was trying to combine the word proposal and published. The new law, though, is being published today, and it'll see judges. They're going to be able now to recommend minimum prison terms for the most heinous crimes. So the judges are going to have a formal role in recommending minimum sentences. This is before a criminal could actually even go for parole or get parole in cases where life sentences do and can apply. And Kathleen Chadha, who's the founder of Save Action, the Save Action group, is with me on the line today. Kathleen, what's your reaction to this, first of all?
It's a positive reaction to it. I suppose we're delighted. I know in Save, we asked about this probably 7 to 8 years ago at this stage, and we were told originally that this wasn't something that was constitutional and therefore wouldn't be possible, even though it was available in other jurisdictions. But so, you know, to know, I know it's been discussed, both Taoiseach Simon Harris and Helen McEntee have both been talking about this over the last probably about 12 months plus. So to know that it is progressing is fantastic. There are still limitations on it. We're not entirely comfortable with it being a recommendation, if you like.
Well, it's not binding. That's the thing, isn't it? It's not binding.
That's the thing. So now, if we look at the changes to the parole and the introduction of a new parole process, the parole bill from 2019, it was enacted in 2021. You know, I know that these things, to get from you know, this discussion to law, you're talking a number of years. So it's not like the next case in front of a judge, this is something that can happen. It is going to take a lot of time. And so I'm hopeful that there will be opportunities to actually influence what that is going forward. It is of no, or very, it's of limited value, I suppose, if it is just a recommendation. You know, the new parole bill board are there. Certainly, I haven't had to engage with them yet. I will be within the next 12 months. But any of the families I've spoken to who have, it's a very positive experience. It's, you know, it is certainly a vast improvement on where the process was before. So, you know, we know that's a positive thing, but we don't know, you know, will they take those recommendations on board? Will they not? Do you still have to start that engagement process at 12 years, if you've got a judge who's recommended, you know, that somebody not be considered for parole for 20 years, for example, you know, are we still left in that position where we don't know as families what is going to happen? So there's a lot that needs to be ironed out.
And Nolene Blackwell, who's a human rights lawyer, Kathleen, Nolene's joining us as well on the line. And I suppose, Nolene, just try and scale this back or break it down a little bit. The understanding, I suppose, of what's happening today is that if somebody is convicted and is going to serve time for a heinous crime, we'll say like in a rape case or in a really serious assault case that has left somebody with life-changing injuries, not where there's a life sentence being imposed. What this means today is that the judge will be able to recommend that there is a minimum prison term of, we'll say, maybe 25 or 26 years before that person is considered for parole. Is that it in a nutshell?
That's it. I'm going to rephrase it a little bit along the way, Andrea, because this will apply to all life sentences. In some cases, if somebody is convicted of murder, they have to receive a life sentence. If a person is convicted, as you say, of a serious rape or a very serious assault, they may be given a life sentence. And a life sentence, in theory, is for life. But as Kathleen very correctly said there, when a person has served 12 years, they can be considered for parole. So, you know, the minimum life sentence is going to be 12 years. Actually, the average life sentence is about 20 years now at this stage. But this is going to, so at the moment, they can apply for parole. If the new law comes into place, and again, Kathleen is 100% right in saying this is going to take time to go through the system, but if this comes into law, then a judge can say, I am imposing a life sentence. And in this case, because the crime was so serious, I am going to recommend a minimum of 20, 25, 30 years, whatever they think. And in that case, they can only recommend it, but they have a right to recommend it. And if the prisoner was to go for parole before that time was up, then the parole board have to take into account that the judge who was there at the time, who heard the case, thought that it was sufficiently serious to have this particular recommendation. It's not, this isn't a silver bullet, but again, and going back to Kathleen, whom I admire so much and has done so much to improve our law in this area, but you can see that the rights of victims, the understanding of the impact on victims of these very serious crimes is working its way into our legal system. And this is a tricky area.
You might be able to shed some light on that relationship or connection between the judiciary and the parole board. So just for this to play out for a moment and for listeners to get an understanding of it. So, you know, Joe Bloggs is given a sentence for a serious assault for a life sentence, and the judge has recommended in the case that he serves a minimum of 25 years. How much weight will the parole board put on that judge's recommendation?
Well, the parole board is itself a very new independent institution, and the truth is we do not know. When this comes in, that's when we will know how much care is and how much notice is taken of that. But the parole board has a very, very sort of complicated decision-making process. Anyway, there's a whole piece of legislation that says these are the things they must take into account. There are situations where they must take into account the views of the victim, that they have to take those into account, but not always. So there's a very complex decision-making piece there already. It's going to be another couple of years before this, even if it has passed as it is today, it's going to take a bit of time to go through. And it's only when it's in being that we know whether it works or not. What this has done is, in my view, I think this is trying to balance a whole lot of things. It's trying to balance the rights of judges to make their own decisions, to set their own sentences without being hampered in any way by the legislature. Mm. And it is trying to recognise them as an independent arm of the state, and then the independent nature of the parole board, while at the same time recognising that some of the judges in recent times have been frustrated by the fact that they haven't been able to distinguish between a life sentence for a very serious crime, but not one that's awful, and they haven't been able to kind of build in that awfulness element into a life sentence. And this is to allow them do that.
You would have to ask, though, like, you know, and I heard the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, talking about this on Breakfast earlier. Why stop short, though, of making it compulsory or binding? Like, why not make it binding then?
Because you are saying, because we have to allow again for the parole process, which is a different part of our system, and which says that in relation to those who are put in prison, they're not put in prison to lock them up and throw away the key. So, for instance, in a murder case, there has to be a life sentence, but in a rape case, a judge might make a decision that they are going to put a penalty of 20 years. That would be more certain, you know, and they may very well want to do that on occasions. Our sentencing system is different because it doesn't say just because you do this, you have to get this penalty. There has to be recognition of a person is being sentenced and you have to look at the person as well. This isn't music to everyone's ears, but it's what a fully sort of, fair and system works within our constitution. Mm. So I'm not giving you the clarity that you want because it is not clear.
No, I understand
that. there are some things that could be done that would help the public to better understand how sentences are constructed. And these haven't been done. We still need sentencing guidelines and sentencing databases, which don't exist.
Is that something, Kathleen, I know you've obviously shared your own very personal story with us here many times on the programme, and listeners will know that. But is that something that you think should be expedited around the minimum guidelines?
Absolutely. I suppose I look back, you know, it's 11 years last week since the boys were killed. And 11 years. And so I know that 9.5 years ago, a little over that, when the sentence was given, if you like, the, you know, two life sentences, they're running concurrently. So it's one, effectively, as far as I'm concerned. If the judge in that case, Judge Carney, who's passed away since, if he had been in a position to actually be able to say to serve a minimum of 20 years, 25 years, it's quite possible I wouldn't be on the phone with you now, because I would have parked and knowing that I didn't have to deal with this for that 20 or 25 years. At the time, I knew that parole was happening. At that time, it was 7 years. So I knew there was going to be a parole hearing, sort of, what was it, 5.5 years after the original sentence, because it's based on the time that he was incarcerated. So I know, you know, I had to start thinking about it almost straight away. And I know of so many families, you know,
how
you are
upsetting that is
every time.
For
it's upsetting. The reality for me is you know, and obviously this is very, very personal to me, but, you know, I am reasonable. So the Kathleen Chadha that you're talking to now is very reasonable. I understand not all murders are the same. I understand that there isn't a one-size-fits-all for a lot of these things. But I can tell you, Owen and Rory Chadha's mother feels very differently in that respect. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm very passionate that those that are coming behind us, because there are, we know in the last week, there have been in the last number of days, there have been at least two women killed. So this is continuing to happen. This isn't going away. So there are families coming behind us. I don't know, and say that's what we're about. What can make it just a little bit easier in the process for the families of the victims, or the victims themselves, if they're still with us. But, you know, for families of victims, because we have a life sentence, and I know it's trite to say it, but I am serving a life sentence. This will not go away for me until the day I take my last breath. And all I can hope is that I'll be joining Owen and Rory when that time comes. So that is what most families feel. And I know that the justice system doesn't want to hear that, because that's emotional and that's messy. They want things very clear and very precise. Well, you know, make them clear and precise.
Yeah, no,
and
I know.
That's what allowing the judges to do that, this will do. It would help. It would help, have helped me, and it will help families going forward.
Well, I know this is something you've discussed and lobbied very hard about, Kathleen, through SAVE over the past, you know, 11 years. And I know, as you said today, it is welcome news in many respects, I suppose, as well, but still some question marks and around the timing or how long it'll take, I suppose, for it to be implemented. Ruth Maxwell is with us on the line. Of course, Ruth survived a violent attack too. Ruth has shared her story with us on the programme too previously. What's your reaction to this minimum sentencing today, Ruth?
Oh, dear. Just listening to Kathleen there, and everything she said is just so full of clarity and logical. And yes, it is important that we see that this